Hey, good morning. Great to have you here at Crosspoint today. If it's your first time with us, or if you're here every week, as Jeff said, really excited that you've chosen to be here. My name's Kurt, by the way. If we haven't met, it's great to meet you today. And we're going to be talking about this movie today. We're going to be taking some of the spiritual threads. Before we do that, I want to pause for a moment and just celebrate something that took place first hour today. There's something really cool that happened first hour. And I would just kind of give you a picture of it. If you work behind the scenes here at Crosspoint, if you serve anywhere here, you have probably at some point or another come into contact with Rick Swinford. And Rick is our custodian on duty for the school system who shows up an hour before everybody gets here. He's here an hour later. And today, for the first time, he walked in the front doors as just a partner of Crosspoint because he retired Friday. And we just want to celebrate that with him and thank him. He may be listening to this later during the week. And I tell you what, Rick was more than a custodian. He was a blessing to everybody that he touched here. And he worked for 30 years for the school system, for 5 years for us. We literally paid him. He was required for us to be able to meet here. And it's really cool. One of the best days, what I would depict is probably one of the greatest, most exciting days in Crosspoint's history over 7 years happened today when, you know, Rick used to stand back in that little walkway back there and he just listened to the services. And then eventually, about the last year, we got him to actually take a seat in the back row of the auditorium. And about 2.5 years ago, we had this open baptism, and Rick came walking down the aisle here, and here's Rick on his baptism day, getting baptized as a result of what took place as he'd come into services in here. And that's just a really cool thing that speaks to the life change that happens here. But in a bigger way, those of you that serve, Rick sees the backside of the Crosspoint tribe all the time. And he sees how you work behind the scenes, how we leave the building. And for him to be able to say, hey, I believe what they're smoking up there, says a lot about the kind of community this is. So I just want to acknowledge that. When you see Rick, he's now walking in the front doors just like you. He's ready to serve. He's joining the loadout team here in a couple weeks. And just a great, great story. We've been blessed by him. Hey, let's pray as we get going. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can come into a place like this and we can dive into to topics, to issues that we just don't have the chance to really dive into in many other places in life. And God, it really doesn't matter our spiritual persuasion, our background, you know, whatever baggage we might be coming into this place with. You're a God who meets us exactly where we are. And God, I just pray today as we look at our past, as we look at some of the things that may be shaping our lives today, God, that you would help us to see things that we have never seen before. And God, if there's any way that you can use me or my words in this, I just pray that you would do that. I pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. Well, you know, if this is your first time with us, we're in week 4 of the series At the Movies, and we're looking at some of the big blockbuster movies of the summer. And we're not necessarily endorsing these movies, but we are looking at the fibers of faith, at these big questions that many of our movies ask that have spiritual overtones or spiritual topics. And it's really fascinating. I've been noticing, I've seen more movies this summer than I've seen in like 10 years, all right? It's been really cool, and I've noticed something. I've noticed that there are really no original stories out there anymore. I mean, the screenwriters have no original stories. Have you noticed that? I mean, at least half, if not more than half, of the blockbusters this summer are either sequels, prequels, or remakes. All right, I mean, just think about it for a moment. I mean, you know, for instance, the one with the cape that we looked at a few weeks ago, you know, Superman, right? I'm not a superhero guy, right? You know, Superman, it's a remake, right? It's a remake of the original. Next week, we're looking at Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger is a remake of the original TV series from the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, somewhere back in there. 2 weeks from today is Despicable Me, which is, you know, a remake or a sequel to the movie that came out 2 or 3 years ago. Monsters U is a fascinating one. We looked at that last weekend. Monsters U is actually a sequel, or I'm sorry, a prequel. It's actually a before the original. But somebody said to me a couple weeks ago, they said, you know, but it's also a remake. It's Revenge of the Nerds just animated. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of parts that resemble Revenge of the Nerds. There's a few scenes I don't remember in the animated version. But you know, it's a remake of that story. And of course, today, Star Trek, I had to actually get into my Trekkie fans' minds and find out, is this a sequel? Is it a remake? They said it's kind of both. In fact, they said it's a remake to what was, it's really a reboot of the original franchise. All right, and so for those of you that follow with Star Trek, you understand that. But it's interesting because one of the things the directors have to do when they're doing sequels, prequels, or remakes is they have to determine how much of the original story you and I are going to remember. And it's fascinating because, you know, for instance, we took our kids to see Monsters U a few weeks ago, and we took them to this thing called a drive-in. which for those of you under 30, it's a place where you like take your car and you drive it up to a big screen and you pay one fee, like $22 for the whole car. It's phenomenal. And you either watch it through your windshield or you tailgate out the back of the car and lots of fun. And we saw this movie and it was fascinating because it was enough for me with Monsters U to remember the names of the characters. And I'm somewhat up on like Disney stuff. And but my kids, man, they remembered every character. I mean, they're like, Dad, you remember the first one when he said this and she did that and this connects to that. And it just amazed me how much they could remember of this. And it occurred to me that, you know, we all remember different levels of these movies. But you know what I noticed is that when it comes to our own past, when it comes to our own past, we remember everything. I mean, when it comes to the things that we've done, the history that we've had, it's usually even the bad. We remember all of it. I mean, there's not a single thing that we forget. And it just occurred to me that the stuff in our past has this ability to affect the rest of our lives. And I just want you to think for a moment. How many of you actually wish that you could go back and undo something in the past? Just something. Immediately stuff comes to mind. Yeah, I mean, things, decisions we made, relationships, job scenarios, whatever it might be. For some of us, we're victims of the past. I mean, there's been times where we've said something we wish we wouldn't have said, and we can't go back and go and undo that. There's just not a way to do that. For some of us, we look back, we wish we would have said certain things at a particular time. There's certain things in our past that, maybe some anger or bitterness that happened a long, long time ago, and yet years and years later, it continues to rear its ugly head, and we just wish we could go back and redo that moment. Or maybe there's a difficult career moment or a difficult relational moment or something maritally that we say, man, I wish I could go and just redo that moment. And the reality is, when it comes to our past, we cannot undo the past. And these things have this ability to keep us standing still instead of moving forward in our lives. Now, one of the best ways I can help us understand this today is through a term I heard a few years ago. In fact, I want to just out of curiosity see if anybody knows this term. Anybody know the term prime directive? Just raise your hand if you know prime directive. Oh, we know a lot more about you now. What's prime directive from, the movie? Star Trek. And so, it's interesting. Prime directive, this is interesting because, prime directive in Star Trek is like every mission the Voyager, the Enterprise goes on, they have these prime directives that govern their mission, what they can do, what they can't do. And they're out exploring new territories in space. And prime directive number one is that you cannot interfere or bring new technology to any developing society. And so that's the most important prime directive. And then the second one, then the third one, the fourth one, another one, something like, you can't risk the lives of people in order to save something or someone. That's another prime directive. But that thing can't trump the first thing. And what's interesting is that this all plays into this movie, Into Darkness. In fact, Dr. James Kirk, the kind of the main lead, in fact, all of the characters in this movie are actually dealing with their past. They're dealing with decisions they made in their past. And for James Kirk, he actually violated both of those prime directives. He actually interfered with a new society at an early point in its civilization, and he put his entire fleet, his entire ship at risk for saving one of his friends. And so he violated two of these main things that should govern their life. Now, what's interesting to me is when it comes to prime directives, what I've learned about Star Trek fans is they take these things very, very seriously. All right? I mean, it's like a few years ago when we were diving into Star Trek a little bit, I did some research on this because I'm not really a Trek fan. And so I got onto this blog, which was fascinating. And it was this blog about all these people talking about how the prime directive guides their personal life. It was like, I'm going to vote this way based on the prime directive. And somebody else was like, no, this is how I practice birth control based on the prime directive. And somebody said to me after first service, they said, if somebody's talking about prime directive directing their birth control, they probably don't need it, all right? So, it's interesting because it's like Trekkies, it's like, this is a big deal. That was an extra. That was extra. First hour didn't get that because that happened between services. But see, all of this made me step back, and I just feel like there's something I need to say to Trek fans. And let me just say, if you're a Trekkie fan, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you're in a safe place today, because this is something I've been needing to say for a long time, and I don't know how to say it, all right? I'm not really sure how to communicate this, so it's just a show, all right? It's just a show. It's the phasers, the ships. I mean, it's a show. It's, they're all not real. And I know I have to be careful because, we have Trek fans in here. And I know that you have more access to technology than the normal person. I get that, All right, if you're into Trek stuff, you have more access. And I know that if there's not a convention in town, you have a lot of time on your hands. I mean, it's kind of like write a nasty email to the pastor, buff up my starship. You know, write a nasty email to the pastor, you know, bring out my photon or laser, whatever it is, you know. And what's fascinating, though, what I've noticed, though, is that the prime directive is taken very seriously by Star Trek fans. And believe it or not, you and I, we actually have a prime directive that guides every single one of our lives. Whether you know it or not, there's a prime directive that governs the decisions you make. And I think one of the main prime directives that guides our today is our past. I think for many of us, our past continues to affect not only today, but it affects the decisions we make for our future. And one of the things we have to make as our prime directive is how do we get past our past? So that our bad choices in the past don't have to dictate tomorrow. And so, a few things I know about you. You know, one big thing I know about every single one of us in this room, regardless of whether you're here for the first time or you've been here, you know, many times, is this. The one thing I know is that, you know, all of us, your past can keep you from experiencing peace. That's the one thing I know about every single one of us here today. You know, there are areas in our life, there are things that have happened in our past that actually prevent us from experiencing all that God has for us. There's things in our past that prevent us from actually experiencing God. In fact, for some of us, we feel like God is very distant right now. And so today I'm going to give you all kinds of scriptures. If you struggle with your past, if you struggle, you know, with just things that have happened, you know, before today and you have a hard time getting past those things, I'd encourage you to write some of these references down. I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures that really help us dive in and hear some of the promises from God on this. Here's one that God gave to Jeremiah, chapter 29. He says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so here's why it's so important is to look to God and to say, God, we need help to get past our past. It's because your past affects all aspects of your life, believe it or not. The mistakes we've made, the bad experiences we've had, the pain, the hurt, the violations, all of those things actually have a huge bearing on how we live today. And your past can actually keep you from experiencing peace. In fact, I think that's why J.J. Abrams actually directed this film, whatever it is, the sequel, the prequel, the, you know, the reboot of the second generation from the 80s, whatever it is. I think one of the reasons he did this is because there's this main theme through the entire movie that we all want to see that my past doesn't have to dictate my future. We want to know that what happened in the past, I can actually move on and create a new tomorrow. And so this is something that Jesus talked about in John chapter 14. In fact, here's one of the things he said. He said, you can actually move past your past and you can actually find peace today. Here's what he said in John 14. He said, I am leaving you with a gift. He said, this is a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I mean, he's saying this thing that I can give you, it's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. This thing I'm going to give you is something that you will never find in any other source except from me. And so God actually has a plan for us moving from our past and actually getting to a place of peace, getting to a new future. And there's four steps in this. I want to look at these four steps today. And listen, these are four simple, simple things and yet incredibly difficult to live out. All right, and I would venture to say every single one of us fall at least in one, if not more, of these different steps. We're all at different places on this. But here's the first step. The first step to getting past my past is to receive forgiveness. This is where everything starts. See, all of us have had events in our past that we wish. I asked you to raise your hand. How many of you wish we could redo or undo something in the past? Nearly every one of us raised our hands. We all have something in our past that we wish we could undo. You know, we wish we could go back and change, or we could take those words back. We wish we could say something that we never got the chance to say. And the bottom line is all of these things have taken place in the past, and there's nothing you can do to undo them. And so what you can't undo, the only thing you can do to address those is to receive forgiveness. In fact, Romans chapter 5, one of my favorite verses, Paul's talking about this. He says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while you're still out doing your thing, doing your gig your way, Christ died for us. And what he's really saying is there's going to come a day in your life where you're going to look back on your past and you're going to struggle with it. There's a day that's going to come where you're going to look back and you're going to wish that those things hadn't happened or you wouldn't have done certain things, said certain things. And God says, you know, when you're out doing that thing, I didn't look down at you and judge you. I didn't look down and condemn you. You know what I did? I looked down at you with love. In fact, I looked down at love, and while you were off doing your thing, you know what I did? I sacrificed myself for you. Why would he do this? You know why he would do this? Because he realized you can't undo the past. You can't go back and undo it. Can't undo it. All you can do now is receive
forgiveness and restoration. Take a look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. John says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." See, what's unique about God is that, and about God's forgiveness, is three characteristics. And so you need to write these three things down. These are three important words. These words are instantly, completely, and eternally. God's forgiveness happens instantly, completely, and eternally. See, the moment that we say, "God, I need your forgiveness for this," it happens instantly. It happens completely, and it goes on eternally. I mean, sometimes we think, there's no like lines for grace. There's no call waiting. Sometimes we think it's like a credit check. Like God has to go back and be like, "Oh, I need to see if you qualify for grace on this one." No, it happens instantly, completely, and eternally. And I know what some of us are thinking. Some of us are like, "But Kurt, if I do this, man, if I ask for grace, I know at some point God's going to come and dangle this thing back in front of my face like everybody else does." No, he doesn't. It's instant, complete, and eternally. It's gone. I mean, get this. Here's the thing. You know, when you come to God and you ask God to forgive you of something, and then you go back and you rehash it over and over and over again, you know how we have a tendency to do that? You're doing something that God doesn't even do. Because for God, it's instant, complete, and eternal. I mean, you're kind of saying to God, "God, I appreciate the gesture, but I think I'd like to wrestle with this a bit longer, if you don't mind." I mean, that's what we do, right? That's how we live. We just go back over and over. And so as you think about your past, what is that thing? What is that? What are those moments that come to mind for you? I mean, what is that thing that makes you feel guilty or embarrassed still yet today? I mean, think about it for just a moment. What's that thing that makes you lie awake in bed at night that you're just not proud of? You know, maybe it's a lifestyle or a decision or somebody you hurt or a bad job decision. And you just need to take a moment and you say, "God, I need to move past this." In your weekly today, I'm going to ask you to interact with your weekly sum. And inside this is a notes page. There's actually a place that says doodle page. If you don't like to take notes, you can draw pictures. And on here, I want you to take a pen, and there's a line for you to fill in the blank. "Today I'm receiving forgiveness for." Maybe you need to write something down right there. And you need to just declare to God, "I need to move past this, God. I stay awake over this thing. This thing haunts me. And I need to put it to bed once and for all." And one of the best ways to do that is to declare it. And you're not going to turn this into me. All right, this is for you. This is strictly for you. But there's something about identifying and saying, "God, I need to move past this. I need to receive your grace." And let me tell you what, the moment you begin to write, God immediately and completely and eternally begins to replace your regret with his peace. Immediately. And so take a moment. If you have something you just want to write there, just write something in there. What is it? I mean, is it a hurt? Is it a decision? Is it some words you wish you could take back? Is it a relationship, a marriage that went south? You know, what is that thing that just continues to linger over you that you need to receive forgiveness for? And after you write that down, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to mark the top box on the back of your connection card for your next step that just says, I ask God to forgive me of something. You're not going to write in what it was. That's only for you. But I want to pray for you this week because you're taking the first step that will literally change the rest of your future right there. So just mark that box. So this is the first step. We receive forgiveness. The second step is to offer forgiveness. All right, so you're never going to have peace with your past until you offer forgiveness to people that have hurt you. Right? And you know, sometimes the skeletons in your closet are things you've done, bad decisions, ill judgment, whatever it might be. You know, we create a lot of our skeletons, but then there's also times where other people create skeletons in our closet. There's things that happen to us that are outside of our own doing, where somebody violates us, somebody hurts us, maybe it's the way somebody treated us, somebody divorced us, just out of the blue, whatever it might be, and we feel violated and we've never forgiven them. See, forgiving others is an essential part of moving past your past. And so the question is, who do you need to offer forgiveness to today? Immediately, for many of us, somebody's come to mind, or an entity, a job, or an employer, a past employer came to mind. Now remember, offering forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a confrontation or even a conversation. It's you saying, it's you declaring to God and say, "God, I'm ready to declare and release this person of this thing that they did to me. It's lingering over me, it's hanging over me." And you're actually releasing yourself by offering forgiveness. And it's fascinating. You know, we do crazy stuff on this. And, it's funny because our motive for this, let me be clear, our motive for this is because of the way God forgives us.
right? I mean, God calls us to forgive because he forgives us. And yet we get really weird on this, right? I mean, I had a conversation with a friend recently, and we were talking about, lump sum forgiveness, as I'll call it. And you're like, what's lump sum forgiveness? It's that moment, where somebody's like continue and repeatedly hurt you or done something to violate you. And then at some point you come together and you begin to work through it, and they say something like, well, I'm sorry for all that. And you're like, well, what is all that? I want to know what all that is. And you're like, they're like, well, all that, all this stuff that happened. Well, and you're like, I want a list, please. I'd like you to list every single thing out. We have this tendency, we want to go to God and say, God, man, I'm sorry. And listen, I believe God knows the intent of our hearts. I believe that when we go to God and say, God, I don't think there's any shortage of our awareness of how much sin we have in our life. I don't think anybody needs to be reminded of how broken we are, of how many bad decisions we've made. We're very aware of that. And I think when we go to God and we say, God, I just need you to restore. I need to receive your grace. God gets the picture. And yet I thought about it the other day when I was with one of my kids. They came and they'd lied. And I sat one of my kids down and I said, you have anything you want to say about this? And they said, Dad, I'm sorry for that. For what? I'm sorry that I lied. For what? I mean, it's like I just kept drilling. It's like until they got the list exactly right. And this bleeds into the next step a little bit, but I think so many times we have to say, sometimes people will say, well, how much do I forgive or how often? You really have to ask yourself the question, well, how much do I want God to forgive me? That's really the question. Am I willing to give the forgiveness that God has given me? And the Apostle Paul, he gives us some wisdom on this, how to get past the past in this way. In Colossians chapter 7, he says, make allowance for each other's faults. It's almost like people are going to fail you. Make allowance for it and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Again, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So what he's saying is anyone who's received forgiveness from God, it was eternal, it was instant, it was complete. And he says, in the same way, you're to forgive. And so as you think about your past, who came to mind? Who's that person that you're like, this is still kind of lingering right here. What did they do to you? And here's the thing. How long are you going to let their actions influence you? Because that's really what's happening. Again, in your weekly, on the notes page, there's a line here that says, today I'm offering forgiveness to. Maybe part of you moving past your past is saying, I'm ready to move past. I'm ready to release this person from them having, some cloud over me. You don't release them from what they've done. That's between them and God. But you're no longer letting them have a power over you. See, when you forgive someone, you're actually letting yourself off the hook. What do you need to write down right there? Listen, there's nothing easy about this, but this is essential if we want to move past our past. So, to move past my past, I have to receive forgiveness. I have to offer forgiveness to others. Number three, I have to learn from my past. Now, it's interesting. The first two steps are all about forgiveness. They're all about who I need to forgive and how do I receive forgiveness myself. The third one is how do I learn the lessons I need to learn from my past mistakes so I don't make the same mistakes in the future. Now, this is interesting because if we don't learn from the past, then you're destined to repeat it. Exactly. Now, here's something that's interesting. You may not know this about yourself, but every single one of us actually have a system by which how we make decisions. You have certain filters or certain influences that help you make the decisions you make every day. And here's an interesting phrase right here. Did you know the decision-making system you have today is perfectly designed for the results you're experiencing? I mean, think about that for a moment. If there's things that are happening in your life today that you don't like, you're like, man, how do I continue to end up right here? Well, your decision-making process is perfectly designed to get the results that you're experiencing right now. It's fascinating. If we want to change the results, we have to change the system. All right, for many of us, we keep making the same mistakes over and over. We're in relationships, and they keep going bad, and we think it's always the other person. We have to look inward and say, man, is there something going on here? Is there something I need to change? Is there something I need to learn from? We keep going back to God with the same sins. It becomes an addiction, but God continues to forgive. And yet, maybe we need to change the system. Maybe we need to learn. The wisdom writer in the Bible gives a very, very vivid picture on this. This is really fascinating. Look at Proverbs 26. He says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Now listen, yesterday afternoon, I was sitting on the patio, kids were out playing, and our dog had been eating grass all morning because nobody fed him. And so, he comes up to the patio doing this number, and all of a sudden he just barfs it up right in the middle of the patio, all kinds of grass and junk. And it just sat there. And of course, the kids didn't clean it up. And we were trying to teach them some lessons. But you know what's fascinating? I watched that dog. I sat on the patio and watched that dog. Every 2 or 3 minutes, he'd come back and sniff it. Then he'd walk away, come right back and sniff it, check it out. Listen, this is what Solomon's saying. He's saying when we don't learn from our past, you're like a dog that just keeps going back to the vomit. He actually says it's foolish. He's like a fool repeats his folly. But he says if you want a different result, you've got to change your system. You've got to change the filters. You've got to change the source by which you're making your decisions through. And then he gives us some other advice in Proverbs 4, verse 5. He says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. And so the Bible says, get wisdom, develop good judgment. And I've discovered there's two ways to develop good judgment. One is to learn from my mistakes, and two is to learn from other people's mistakes. Now, I love learning from other people's mistakes. I mean, I'm not like sitting back there laughing, look at them, they're screwing up again. I'm not doing that number. But I talk to a lot of people. I counsel a lot of people. And there's a lot of times where I look and I'm like, man, this applies to my life too. But unfortunately, I oftentimes don't learn from them. See, oftentimes I have to go through that experience myself. Look at that last line there. It says, do not forget my words or turn away from them. You know why this is? It's because oftentimes the pains of my past are often a result of me knowing what to do but not listening to God's words. See, oftentimes the pains of my past are me knowing what the right thing to do is but choosing to do it my own way. It's me saying, God, this is what I really want to do, and so I'm going to try to make my decision fit my spirituality instead of saying, God, I'm going to let my faith in you, my spirituality, actually define the decisions that I make. It's interesting because when we begin to do this, when we get off track this way, we begin to hurt ourselves, we begin to hurt people all around us. In Star Trek, Into Darkness, it's fascinating because this was the storyline of the entire movie. I mean, Captain Kirk, he has a decision to make. He's faced with a similar situation later in the movie. He'd lost his seat as the captain, and then he gets kind of reinstated. And then he's faced with, again, is he going to violate the prime directive, or is he going to make his prime directive learning and moving past his past? And there was a lot on the line, people's lives on the line, an entire civilization on the line. We have to make learning from our past our prime directive. And finally, step number 4. I must trust God with my future. I have to trust God with my future. One of the fourth step to getting past my past is actually trusting that God has a future for me. See, for some of us, the reality is God has so much more than we're currently living right now. God has so much more in store, but we've never trusted God for that future. In fact, take a look again at one of the promises God gives us through Jeremiah, the prophet. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This is God saying, hey, I don't want to harm you. I have a good future in store for you. I actually have a hope for you. And in the future, it's going to blow your mind. But in order for you to get there, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to lean not on your own understanding, not on your past experience. You need to learn from your past, but you need to lean on my promises. And I think probably for many of us, this is where we struggle right here. This is the step we find ourselves. And we get the first three pretty well, even though not easy. We know what it's like to receive forgiveness. We know what it's like to give forgiveness. We can learn from our mistakes. But when it comes to trusting God, when it comes to trusting God for a difficult career decision this week, this is where we lean back on ourselves. When it comes to trusting God to put our marriage back together, we lean back on ourselves and our past. When it comes to dealing with a difficult situation with our kids, we lean back and pull something out of our parents' tool belt instead of saying, God, I'm really going to trust that you're going to guide me in this right here. Listen, I get this. This is where I get stuck. And let me tell you, developing a trusting God, we have to look forward and begin to believe that God actually does want us to prosper. As a reminder of this past, about a month ago, we were down in this little island off of South Carolina that we like to vacation at every year. And we drove by this house that we stayed in the first time we were on the island. It always brings these memories back. And it's a cool island. It's disconnected from the mainland with no bridge. So you have to ferry over to it, and then you rent a golf cart all week. I mean, it's like a golf cart island with no cars. And we're staying in this home that has this big circle in front of it, kind of a cul-de-sac, and these big vacation homes. And some of our friends had actually told us about the island were there with us.
And it was about Wednesday. We'd been there for maybe three or four days. And they had this beautiful beach club. It had a couple pools, a hot tub. It sat right on the ocean. So you're like swimming in the cleanliness of a pool, looking out at the beach and the ocean. It's beautiful, all right? And so I ran back to the house that we were staying in. And our buddy Jason came over and saw us. And he's like, "Where's everybody at?" I'm like, "Oh, they're all down at the beach club." And they're like, "Well, why are they going to the beach club?" I'm like, "Oh, because we want to swim." And, every day we load up all the kids in there with all our gear. And it's only like a 5-minute golf cart ride down to the beach club. He's like, "Well, why aren't you, swimming in the pool right across the street from your house?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? There's no pool outside my house. There's a cul-de-sac and a bunch of foliage." He's like, no, there's a pool in the middle of that foliage." No, sure enough, we walk over, look through. The pool had been empty all week long. It was sitting there the whole week. We didn't know it. And we thought, man, it'd be great if we had a pool at our house. We could like nap the kids and swim, while they're napping. Here it is right across the street. And yet it took my friend, who had a bigger picture and understanding of the island than I did, to help me see what was sitting right there in front of me. I think this is what the prophet Jeremiah meant when he said, if we put our trust in God, we have to trust that God has plans to prosper you, not plans to harm you. And for some of us, maybe that next step of moving past our past is saying, "God, I'm going to trust you with my future. I don't know what it holds. I don't know where the pool is, but I know there's something out there that you have in store for me. But I can't see it on my own." So there you have it. 4 steps to getting past our past, to receive forgiveness. Maybe for some of us, this is what we need to do. Maybe you wrote a name or something down, or someone down, or something down you need a forgiveness from, and you've marked that this is your step this week. Maybe you need to offer forgiveness to someone. You wrote a name down, and today is the first day that you're going to live without them, that issue hanging over your head. Maybe for others of us, we need to learn from our past, or yet others, we need to trust God with our future, and we need to begin to believe Jeremiah 29:11. In fact, maybe you want to read it this week every day. And so I encourage you, these are your steps. So you might look at the back of your card and say, what next step am I going to take today? Because I want to pray for you. It's important that we get these cards, because we're going to pray over every single card that comes in, because this is huge this week. Getting past our past is not easy. And yet we're going to pray for you this week as you take these steps, and that God would continue to help you process through to get to a new place. And as you do this, I know what happens. Listen, I realize this lands in a lot of places today, and if you don't hear me say anything else today, I want you to remember this, that God wants you to prosper, and he has a hope for you regardless of what's happened in your past. And Captain Pike believed that James Kirk could actually move past his past. He said, "James, I believe in you." That was that last line in that trailer. "I believe in you. I think God's saying to you today, I believe in you." And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "God, Kurt, man, if God understood everything that's happened in my past, there's no way he'd tell me I have a hope in the future. There's absolutely no way." Let me tell you a little secret. He actually does know. He knows everything, believe it or not. I mean, there's nothing you can tell him where he's going to go, "Oh, my word, I had no idea you were working with that." No, you're not going to surprise him with anything. He knows it already. The question is, are we ready to take the step to take us to the new place? Let's pray. God, our past is a big deal. I mean, we can kind of superficially look at it and say, "Oh, yeah, I've dealt with all that." It's interesting, because we start to talk about these things, and it's amazing how things begin to bubble up to the surface. And for some of us here today, God, we need to take a clear step today to receive your forgiveness. For others of us, we need to take a clear step to provide forgiveness, to offer forgiveness to someone else, and to move out from the control of something they have done to you. God, for some of us, we need to begin to gain wisdom and to begin to look to you as our filter for the decisions that we make, so we can actually change our decision-making process. And yet for probably all of us, God, we need to grow in what it means to trust you with our future. God, we believe you have great things in store, a future that's beyond, you promised it to us, beyond what we could ask or imagine. So God, I just pray that you would help us to take the step that takes us to whatever place we need to go to today. God, for those of us in the room right now that just need to deal with the first step, we need to receive forgiveness. And we know the storied past we have. There's no shortage in the memories that we have of all of the things in our past that hinder how I'm living today, God. We know that the first step that we can take is to receive your grace. And so for those of us that need to take that step right now, here's how you do it. You just simply say to God, "God, I need to receive from you.
You can put it in your own words. It's not about the order of the words as much as it is the intent of your heart. God, I want to receive your grace. I want to begin to move past my past. And I want to invite you to begin to lead me into a new future. See, today we can actually have a redo. We can have a remake. Just like the movies. God's a God of second and third and 10th and 50th and 100th and unlimited chances. So God, I just pray that for those of us that need it right now, that you would start a brand new story right here today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.